thank you so much for coming this morning. We've got a great crowd, and we're going to look at the second chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're visiting this morning, I want you to know that I'm also visiting, so I always tell people, come back next week and see what's going on. If you don't like this, you may find out you like what's going on a little better. But I'm glad to be here. I always appreciate coming here. Of course, two of my oldest sons came to school here, and you all were such a blessing to them when they needed you. You filled in as a mother and a father to them, and even though Purdue, I guess, would have been their alma mater, most of you were like an adopted mother to them. And so thank you so much for what you did for my family and for my sons. But let's open our Bible up this morning and look at the second chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're here, the writer is going to help us now to see as he's searching to figure out what life is about, what is the purpose and the meaning of life, what should a person do with his life, what should he give his life to, and what is life all about. And so, you know, if you think about the fact that the writer's going to show us here that living under the sun and this world and everything we look at, touch, and see, the world itself that we're told not to love in 1 John, the second chapter, that it is, in and of itself, it cannot satisfy. It's fleeting, it's passing, it's transitory. But you have in your possession something that is eternal. You have a soul. You're made the image of God. And so what you should do in life is when you look at all the confusion, all the problems, remember that you've got something very valuable. If you had a bar of gold, what would you do with it? You wouldn't probably lay it out on the hood of your car and come in here to come to services and leave it sitting out there. You would take care of it. You'd put it somewhere safe. You would guard it. You'd value it. And so here, God has given us this soul we're going to see in the book of Ecclesiastes that needs to be fed and nurtured and taken care of. And so we've got to take care of that and preserve it. And when the writer goes on in his search for finding out what life is about, I mentioned this morning that my friend had bought a watch overseas that it was a genuine imitation Rolex watch. But what if I were to tell you that my friend had bought this watch, and really where this watch came from was it actually was a button on his coat. He was walking down the street. And while he was walking down the street, he had his coat button, and his stomach got a little tight, and it popped the button off of his coat, and the button started rolling down the street. And so we took off running after that button, and it ran down the street and hit the curb at the corner. And when it hit the curb, the button exploded, and when you reached down to pick the button up, it was a Rolex watch. You'd say, well, you crazy thing, that just can't happen. Well, some people look at the world we're living in, and they just think that some explosion could have made all this order and design. That's not going to happen. But what if my friend had a real nice watch that somebody had created and designed? It was a wonderful thing the way it was made. And he took the back off to look at it and saw this mainspring in the back. I wonder what that is. I don't want that. So he took the mainspring out. What good would the watch be? What value would it be? It wouldn't give any glory to the designer. It wouldn't be of any purpose, any value. Or if somebody bought a new car and all the design, all the good that a car can do, and somebody said, well, they open the hood up and see the battery. So I don't like, I'm afraid of electricity. I'll take the battery out. What good would the car be? If we take the core of who we are with eternity inside of us, made in the image of God, and we take that out, no matter what else we do, we're not going to find meaning. We're not going to find purpose. And so the writer's already told us by searching and seeing everything he looks at is vanity, it's fleeting, there's no purpose. Under the sun, everything that's here has no real meaning in of itself. Something has to give life meaning. And so the writer has searched, first of all, he thought maybe wisdom would be the answer, and I think he's talking about the pursuit of human wisdom. Because we see in the Bible that wisdom is a value. Even the wisdom of men is a value. It can help you in the world to live a better life and take advantage of what's in the world. But that in of itself, wisdom and education and a PhD is not what life is about. But then notice after he tells us that in the second chapter, notice what's said in verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter that it is mad. I said of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, and to acquaint myself, to acquaint my heart with wisdom, acquiring my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what is that good for the sons of men, which that they should do under the sun all the days of their life. And so the writer says, you know, after I found out that education is not what life is about, he said, I think what I'll do is I'll go and I'll start looking at pleasure. I think, well, I want to have some fun. And so let's say that we give you the desire and give you the ability to do whatever you want to do. We're going to see here in just a moment. Whatever he wanted, he could have. Can you imagine somebody saying to you, listen, you want to have some pleasure? And you say, well, I'll tell you what, my pleasure would be to have an 18-wheeler truck and to go shopping. I love to shop, so I'll go to Walmart, fill my 18-wheeler up, and then tomorrow I'll take it over to Stewart's or some other store and fill it up there. And then every day I'll fill up my 18-wheeler, and I just go out and I'll have fun. I'll find whatever is joy. I buy all the, what's the old fellow's name? He used to tell all the stories, Jerry Clowers. I'll just listen to Jerry Clowers' tapes. My boys and I, we used to, we'd get in my old van, we'd go somewhere driving, we'd always put those old Jerry Clowers and listen to them over and over, and we would laugh at them over and over, you know, just doing that. Have you ever been around somebody that laughs and talks all the time like it's something funny? And after a while, you start saying, no, don't, my sides are hurting, I can't take any more. And you soon find out that, you know, life is not about pleasure. It's not about mirth. You might think, if I could just be happy every day, oh, if I could just dance every day through the day, I would be happy. No, you wouldn't be happy. Because life is not about pleasure, you see. It's not about mirth. It's not about trying to find things that satisfy you in that way. So, first of all, we said this fellow who is an intellectualist, maybe he's the one who found the meaning. No, he didn't find it. Now, here's the fellow who we might say is involved in hedonism. He just is doing everything that gives him pleasure. He goes out and pursues all these things. And when he's done everything he can do, after a while, he realizes this does not... I mean, can you imagine shopping till you drop, you know? And just can't take any more of that. Well, you'd find out if you tried it, you'd just get tired of it. I know I've been with my wife shopping, and I know that sometimes I just had all I could take. I learned to go in the store. When she'd go shopping, I'd go in there, and after I'd sit a while, I was sitting out with some men out there on the bench. They said, what's going on? I said, our wives are trying every dress on in the store, and they don't buy a thing. I said, I'm going to take care of this. I went and I said, baby girl, what are you looking for? She said, I'm looking for a blue polka dotted dress size such and such. I went around that store real quick and found four dresses that were polka dotted her size. I said, she said, oh, that's just what I wanted. We went home. I thought, well, you know, I've learned how to solve this. But you see, if you go out and get everything you want, you're not going to be happy. You might think, oh, if I could just get some more. No, you won't. Life is not about piling up things and just gathering up things everywhere you go. And notice then he tells us, after he says that, that he tries wine. Here's an old boy says, well, now, maybe it's in alcohol. I'll get to drinking, and I'll see if all these drinks, I can try different sorts of drinks I drink, and maybe I can hide my life in a bottle somewhere, and that's what life's about. And when he did that, he said, what I did was I kept my wisdom about me, and so I did all this. I didn't just get plumb crazy with it, but he said, I found it even in that you think, well, if you just think, well, drinking will do it. No, that won't do it. Drugs won't do it. Anything else like that won't do it. And then the writer tells us after he tried those things, he said, I'm trying to find out what is good for man to do. He said, I'm testing life. I'm trying to see what it's about. He says in verse 4, and I made me great works and built me houses and planted me vineyards and made me gardens and orchards and planted trees of them of all kind of fruits. And I made me pools of water to water wherewith the woods and to bring forth trees. And I got me servants and maid servants and had servants born in my house. I also had great possessions and small and great of cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the treasures of kings and of providences. I got me men's singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as music, musical instruments and that of all sorts. And I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And so this man now begins looking at life and says, you know, I've tried these other things. Maybe now I'll try materialism. And I'll start building parks and doing piling all that and getting all these treasures. What if we were to tell you we're going to give you enough money to go around the country and look at all the national parks? We're going to give you enough money to build greater parks, to dig your own Grand Canyon, and to make your own Mount Rushmore, and just go out and begin to build and look at all these wonderful things you could do. And you go out and you do all those things. You've got the money to do what nobody else ever has been able to do before, and we'll let you go out and do all that. You might think, oh, that would really be fun. That would give me meaning and purpose. When Solomon had done all that and gathered all these things, he realized, no, that's not what it's about. Gold and silver, I mentioned, as we're going to see, he gave himself to everything he wanted. Can you imagine? I've been in South Africa and gone along where some of those old stone fortresses are built, in South Africa that are in Africa that they believe that probably were built by Jewish people who might have come there and gathered gold and silver and diamonds and used these fortresses to protect the things they had gathered up there, and ivory and all those things. Solomon went out and he had just taken everything that he could out of the world. People had gone everywhere. He had everything a man could have imagined. And he said, when I got all these things, and I had all of them, and I had them all about me, I increased more than all that were before me. He says to us then, in verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all the labor. Notice Psalm says, you know what? When I got through with all that and looked at all of it, have you ever done this? I've built a lot of things in my lifetime. And you work hard, you build a shed or you build somebody a garage or something, and you do some great work and you enjoy all the work of it. And when you get finished, you sit down, you look at it, and you say, well, that's the end of that. And so there's no longer any great joy in what you did. What you gained from it, and the benefit of it was, what you gained by doing what you did. What that says is everything in life, the only real reward you get is being involved, being motivated, being driven. For example, people go to work on Friday and say, thank God it's Friday. Why don't you get up in the morning on Monday and say, thank God it's Monday, and go to work and enjoy and look at your job, what you can do. Other people are not going to work that way, and you're going to get on their nerves, and they're going to think you're trying to buddy up with the boss and trying to get ahead some way. But if you just do that, what you'll find out is the joy of you being self-motivated and working hard and doing what you do, that's the joy you get out of life. It's the labor that you do. It's not sitting around waiting for somebody to give you something. You'll never be happy that way. The more you are self-driven and self-motivated, and the more you labor and work, that will be the reward you get. That will be the thing you'll get out of life. And then he says in verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There is no profit under the sun. So he saw just by having it, that was not the joy of it. When you get finished with that, that's the end of that. And so it just, you think, well, why did I spend all that time doing that? Because you're finished with that now. And so Solomon looked at everything he did. All the money he had gathered, all the diamonds and other things he had gained, all the buildings he had built, and all he got from it was the joy of doing the work that he did to gather that together. And then notice in verse 12 he says, after he looked at that in that way and did those things, he said, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happened even to me. Why was I the more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. So now he says, you know, when I look at all these things I've done, I go back and I perceive wisdom for a moment. And I realize when I worked hard to become wise and to understand life and to put things together, I realized that what that did was, it was like somebody turning the lights on for me. Have you ever noticed how a lot of people, Jesus talked about this in John the 3rd chapter, about people who live in the dark. They don't want their deeds to be exposed because they're evil. But somebody who walks in the light, when the light comes on, they do what is right, and they enjoy that. I tell people when I was younger, my grandpa, we milk cows. I have my grandpa's lantern today. At 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd walk down the old road to the barn, open the door, and I'd hang that lantern on a nail in the barn. And when I'd open that door and hang that lantern there, all the rats and all the snakes would start running out of the barn, and everything, that the critters would get away. But when I'd hang that there, the fireflies or the moths would come to that light and fly around it. So light draws some kinds of people, and it repels other kinds of people. And when you see that wisdom will cause you to want to learn and to see and understand what life's about, but if you're a fool, you don't want to see that. Nobody can tell you anything. And when people can't tell you something, you're going to live in the dark. And so Psalm said, I tell you, the advantage and the benefit of learning and studying and listening about life is you're able to see life. And I said this morning already that when you know when wisdom will be valuable to you? When you get your life in a mess. you're going to make a mess somewhere. You're going to make some mistakes. And what you're going to need to get out of those mistakes is you're going to need to have the wisdom to know, what can I do to get out of this mess? And so God said, listen, I've given you this toolbox of wisdom. I've told you the book of Proverbs shows us how wisdom comes, how a man can gain it, and it will give him happiness and long life and fame in the world and honor with God. And so when a person becomes concerned about the wisdom of God and learning about God, the lights come on. And, you know, I've said to people many times, you ever been studying your Bible? Say, whoa, I never even noticed that before. That is amazing. I used to, one night a week when my boys were little, I'd stay up on Thursday night and study my Bible all night because I wanted to take Friday or Saturday off and spend in the summertime, spend something to do with my boys on that day of the week. And so I'd be in the middle of the night reading something. I would learn something and I'd see something. I'd go in the bedroom and say, baby girl, look at this. You won't believe what I found. And she said, you nut, would you get out there and let me sleep? It's time to go to bed. But you see, the lights were coming on for me. I was beginning to see what life was about. I didn't know until I began to read the Bible what life was about. And so here's a picture of Psalm saying, let me tell you, if you will see the value of wisdom, and especially the wisdom from God, it will allow you to look at life in a way that you will perceive life completely different. If you think about why some people live the way they do, it's the way they perceive life. And the perception of life is amazing. I've told about a man one day was passing me. I was going down the hill, real curvy road down Madison, and this older gentleman passed me on a curve and almost ran me off the road. I got upset, and I thought, I'm going to catch up with that old boy and tell him to be more careful. And so I speeded up and got down the bottom of the hill. There was a stop sign down at the bottom. There were cars backed up, and this man had to stop. So I jumped out of my car, ran through and said, sir, you better be more careful. I looked in the car. His grandson's head was busted open. He was rushed into the emergency room. Now, you see, one minute I wanted to go up there and choke that old boy. But when I saw that, my perception changed. I ran up and said, you all get your cars out of the way. Let this man go. He's got an emergency. You see, my perception changed everything about me. And that's why people live the way they do. If you don't perceive life right, you're going to live like a fool. You're going to live like you're crazy. But when you begin to see what it's like and put life together, you'll change the way you live. You'll change what your goals and your values. You'll change how you treat people. You'll see that things are not what life's about, but people are what matter in life. Things are going to wear out and pass away, but people are going to go on. And so Solomon says, by this wisdom, I saw that it excels folly. It's like light being turned on. But then he says, when I got all that, you know what I realized? When I became wise and worked so hard at that, I saw this fool over there doing what he was doing. And so I realized that that fool dies just like I do. And so I got to thinking, what is the benefit? Wisdom doesn't make you last longer. It doesn't make you really be able to overcome death. And so you are just like, in that sense, because you're wise, you don't overcome the grave. The grave is what puts life in perspective. Psalm says, no matter if you're wise or fool, let me tell you, there's a line drawn where you stop somewhere. There's a period put on the line, and you finish there. And he says, so don't think that wisdom is going to cause you to gain anything above that. You're going to be just like everybody else in the world. You're going to die. So don't be shocked or surprised. And so when Solomon had tested life and looked at it, when he had taken to give himself to everything he wanted, he saw that wasn't what it was about. And then notice in verse 16, Solomon says, in verse 16, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which is now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And he dieth, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. And so Solomon says, you know, you're going to be forgotten, so don't think that that's, life is not going to reward you by being wise. People are probably not going to appreciate, they're not going to pay any more attention to you because you're wise. So don't think that's the reward of life or what life is about. Because you're going to die, people are going to forget you. And so realize that's what all this work in life, it's not really giving meaning and purpose to who you are. And then he says in verse 19, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto a man that should come after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and therein have I showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Here's a fella, he works hard and does all these things, become wise and builds these great things. He knows he's going to just die and leave it when he gets to the end of the grave, to the end of life. He's not going to take those things with him. So don't think that piling all this up, getting all this thing, it's kind of like the old boy said when a rich man left, said, somebody said, well, how much money did old Howard Hughes leave when he died? How much did he leave? Somebody said, he left all of it. Let me tell you, you're not going to take those things. And they're not going to go with you over there. You want to take something that will go with you. Money won't go with you. and all these things we can accomplish. Well, they're not going to go with us. But what will go with this is doing what God says. And so this man looked at life and said, you know, when I look at the fact that I've done all this, it makes me hate life because and hate my labor because it seems like it can just be thrown away when I'm finished. Therefore, verse 20 says, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to the man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. So you might think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to save this up and give it to my children, and that's going to make them so much. You don't know, a friend of mine, his father, when he passed away, he left what he had to this friend of mine. And this friend of mine went out when he got it. You know what he did? He went out and bought him a new sports car with all that his father had saved up. And so you might think, oh, my kids, they're I'm going to bless them. I'm telling you, you let your kids labor. You let your kids work. You let your kids learn. I told about my wife and I lived in Germany years ago. When my parents saw we were struggling and having a hard time. My dad, I was making $97 a month. Back in those days, our rent was $40 a month in Germany. And so at the end of the month, we'd eat baked potatoes, fried potatoes, mashed potatoes, and potato cakes. Because you could buy 100-pound potatoes for $5. But my dad found out we were having a hard time, so he sends us $20 in the mail. And my wife said, oh, look, we got $20 here at the end of the month. I said, send it right back. She said, why? We could use that. I said, if my daddy starts paying our bills, he starts telling us how to do. And we need to live our own life. And we need to make it our own way. And let me tell you, all those weeks we went through when we were hungry and cold, that made our marriage greater. It made our life better. It made us appreciate and value everything, so we didn't throw our money away when we got it, you see. If somebody just given to us things, you've seen people who've been spoiled by things given to them, we don't need to think that we can help our children by laying stuff up for them. We may mess their lives up. They may end up sitting down in Bahamas, lose their soul, and drink iced tea all day long under a shade tree somewhere. So let's just see that what the benefit is let everybody make their own way. Let everybody do their own thing. Don't think you're helping your children by paying their way and laying up for them. And then he says to us, not only has he learned that and how it destroyed him, but he says in verse 22, for what hath a man of all his labor and the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun, and all the days of his sorrow and his travail and grief, yet his heart taketh no rest in his night. This also is vanity. So here's an old boy just worked himself to death, and just knew that it was just going to be passed on. And he had no idea whether his son would be wise or a fool with what he gave him. And so he says in verse 24, there is nothing better than that a man should eat and drink and should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This also have I saw that it is from the hand of God. So he says, you see what's in the hand of God, what God's given to you, what you have today, let me tell you, go out and you enjoy it. Don't you think about laying up and treasuring and thinking, well, I'll just take care of down the road and I'll just pile all this stuff up, and if I don't need it, I'll pass it on. No, you take what you've got today and you enjoy it. My mom has put some money back in the bank and has some stocks and things. And a couple years ago, she was 85 years old, and she said that, you know, I want to buy a car, but I want to save this money back and give it. I said, Mom, go get you a new car. And I said, don't worry about giving me that money. You go get it. I said, take your money and enjoy it. You live your life. You work for that. You enjoy that. Every day you take what you've got and you go and you enjoy those things. Here's a picture of Solomon saying, you know what we need to learn about life? There's nothing better than today. Because you don't know you'll be here tomorrow. And you know what's going to happen if you leave tomorrow. What's going to happen, what you've got. So what you should do today is every day. Every day. Make the best out of every day. So live life. Don't chase after it. Live life every day. This is the gift of God. He wants you today to go out and enjoy what you have. Now, don't live above your means. That'll get you into trouble. But if you can go to McDonald's and you and your wife split a cheeseburger today for lunch, you go get that cheeseburger and sit under a shade tree somewhere on the river and you enjoy that, you see. That's what's in God's hand every day for everybody to do. So the man that works and labors, you enjoy what you have done. And then Solomon was saying, verse 25, for who can eat, who can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather up and to heap up, that he may give it to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexatious spirit. So Solomon is showing here the thing that bothered him and troubled him was he would get out and work, and all the toil and all the labor of life would just be thrown away. He said that's a vanity in life. It's empty. It's purposeless. Just labor and work and kill yourself and work night and day and save it up for somebody and not enjoy it. Solomon said, let me tell you, that's chasing after the wind. Don't live that kind of a life. Don't be that kind of a person. And then Solomon would say to us in verse 26, when God gives us these things, he gives them to those to be enjoyed. So somebody who knows God, he knows what to do with things in life. Enjoy them. Use them for good. Do good with them. Go out and do good whatever you've got. That's why God gave it to you. But if you're a sinner and you're just piling it all up, God's letting that person pop so one day he can give it to somebody else, you see. And so what the point of all this is, we've just got to see these things are given to us from the hand of God, and we've got to make good out of them and do good with them no matter what. And you know, when you can focus on what life is about and see that, I tell the story about my older son, John. When he was a young boy, somebody gave him a magnifying glass. And they had showed him how you can take the sun rays and get them to a focal point and you can start a fire. Well, I was sitting in my office there in the house, and I noticed he was out there in the yard. And so I thought, I better check on that old boy. He's kin to me. I looked out the window, and he'd piled up some leaves in the front yard under a big tree. And he had got a fire going and now in that front yard with those leaves. So I beat on the window, John, no. So he stopped me. He said, okay. He smiled and put that in his pocket. So I thought, well, okay, I took care of that. Well, I sat back down, went to studying. And so I thought, well, now I better check on him again. So I looked out the window this time. He's over by my car. He's got the sun rays on my car tar. Smoke coming off my car tar. He's about to burn off. But I want you to see that he had learned a valuable thing about life. Take all of life's energies, blessings, take everything and put them to a focal point about thinking about God in everything you do. And when you get that power and that energy focused on what you're doing, what life's about, let me tell you, you've got some power to overcome what's in the world, no matter how wicked and bad it might be. You've got reason to live because it's God that gives you meaning. I saw years ago a cartoon of a cowboy, remind me of a lot of people I know. He was supposed to ride off into the sunset after the cartoon was over, but he rode off this way and he stopped and looked around and he rode back that way and he rode this way. And before long, a big cloud of dust goes up and you lose the old boy and you don't know where he went. You know what we're doing? We're running after this and we're running after that. We're chasing after this and we're missing what the power and energy of knowing I'm going to heaven. I got my mind set on it and that's where I'm going and I'm not going to deter myself. Ecclesiastes is showing us. We've got to get our focus on what life's about. When you get your focus on what life's about and you see that God is what will give you happiness and joy and peace of mind and contentment, it will help you know what to do with what you have, help you know how to live your life, what life is about. Solomon is showing us when we learn that and we get a handle on that and we see that what God has given to us, the reason he's given us all these things is so that we can enjoy them. That's why we've got them. We lose sight of that. I had a neighbor one time, he told me, he said, you know, Gary, I got to thinking one day that I need to build up, I'm getting old, I need to build up some money in the bank. So he said, I thought I'm going to save up this was several years ago. He said, I'm going to save up $5,000. So he said, I worked several years, got $5,000 in the bank. He said, you know, I got to think, $5,000 is not much money right now. I think I better get that $10,000. So he said, I started cutting my budget and telling my wife she couldn't buy this and that. We started eating it from cheaper restaurants and going to stores that sold things at discount. We started wearing our old clothes out and driving our old car. He said, I got up $10,000. He said, well, that's not enough. He said, I got $20,000. He said, I wonder where I was going to be satisfied. He said, I finally realized, if you think that gold and silver and storing it up is going to satisfy you, let me tell you, you will be building bigger barns all the time. You never will be satisfied. Just put the brakes on today and don't chase after life. Live life. And don't be afraid of life. Get out in the world with courage and see that God is going to provide for you. The ecclesiastical writer is teaching the worthless life of taking God out of the picture. I was aiming to say to you about you know, if you have a car and you take the battery, what good is it? What good is a life that is lived without focus on God? And to think about how God loves us and cares about us. I'd love to tell this story about when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. You all remember that airplane that flew into the Potomac River, landed on the icy runway and slid off into the Potomac River in the wintertime? And they had, the cameras were zooming down on people coming out of the airplane and trying to swim in the frozen Potomac water. And what happens? A helicopter came and dropped a cable down to pull people up out of the water. And when the cable was dropped down, the helicopter, and the wind was blowing, the cable kept blowing and people couldn't get it. And so there was one young man who was really healthy. He got out there and he would swim over. He got a hold of that cable. He took that cable and he got it. He swam over and hooked that cable, I hope you won't mind me saying this, on an older lady. And they pulled that old lady up out of the water. They dropped the cable down again, and there was a young girl by that. I hope you won't mind me saying that. But he took it over, and he hooked the cable on this young girl and took her up. And they dropped it down again, and then there was a man there by him. He took it over and hooked it onto that man. And when they did that, they took him up, and when that happened, the camera zoomed in on the man swimming in the water, and it, finally hypothermia got the best of him, and it began to sink out of sight and go out down in the deep water. And he drowned. And so the news people are saying, what in the world was wrong with that nut? What made a man act so foolish to spend his time swimming around and doing that and losing his own life? And somebody said, I know what made him do it. I know what will make somebody do what that man did. He loved somebody else's life more than he loved his own. Can we get the picture that God loves, Jesus loves our life more than he loved his own? Would you want to be the friend of somebody like that? I don't know that fellow's name. I used to know it, but I've forgotten it. But I'll guarantee you, if he had hooked the cable on me, I'd be singing his song today. I'd be singing his praises today. But Jesus has done much more than that. Eternal life is being offered to you today. Will you come today, surrender yourself to a God who cares about you and try to give you the wisdom to see what is right? Won't you come this morning with a desire to confess your allegiance to Jesus and to repent of, have an attitude to change your mind about the will of God and to be baptized so your sins can be washed away and you can get up out of here and go home and turn the lights on and begin to live the kind of life that God wants. So if you're here and need to respond anyway, won't you come to sing the song to encourage you?